Hiya, you are listening to Intuit, the HuffPost UK entertainment podcast. As you can tell, I am not Daniel Welsh. That's because I am Ash Percival. And this week, I am joined by Rachel McGrath and Francesca Syrett. And we're going to be unpacking all the latest showbiz goings on. Today, we're going to be chatting about all the fallout from that Angelina Jolie interview, reliving the most iconic Celebrity Big Brother moments, as well as taking part in Rachel's mystery quiz. But before we get to all of that, let's talk about Love Island, which I know is a topic that, Francesca, you're particularly very excited about.
Maybe.
Now, much to the devastation of almost everyone I know, Love Island came to an end this week. The live final was on Monday, and it saw Kem and Amber beat Jamie and Camilla to win the show. Although I would argue that ITV2 won the show because it drew their highest ever viewing figures for the channel, which I think is quite something. Now, they're all out of the villa now, and there's kind of been various reports over the last week about what they're all going to do next. There's been talk of spin-off shows, appearances on rival reality shows, rap EPs, and of course, lots of hashtag sponsored content on Instagram, which I think has already started.
It has.
It literally has already.
Oh my gosh.
But what I want to know is what do we think that they're all going to do next? What do we see the likes of Chris, Olivia, Montana, Kem, all doing next? I want to break them down into the couples of who won. So we're going to start with Kem and Amber, who are obviously the winners. Francesca, I'm going to come to you first. What do we see Kem and Amber doing next?
Well, I'm going to be honest. That's the couple I've kind of thought about least, because I thought, okay, not going to worry about those. But obviously, you know my obsession with some of the other couples, so I've not spent much of my time on them. But I can see, because obviously it was Amber's dream of being an actress and on the stage, etc. And I genuinely, she starts laughing already.
Rachel's like, TV, what a joke.
sorry.
I would love to see her pursue that. Whether or not, I don't know how good or bad she would be at that, but I would really like hope that she went down that avenue and try to do that seriously, and Kem break away and do something else with the boys.
Because she does seem quite passionate about that stuff, doesn't she? And she is already a dancer, and she moved to London at 16. She's now 20, so she's sort of been grafting.
She's now 20.
She
is 45 now.
but I think it just gives her a platform to be able to do that now. Might be, you know, I have no idea what she actually is like as an actress, but from my personal view, I'd hope that she does that, and I think Kem would then go down the more TV reality route rather than Amber, I would hope.
Well, he's already rumoured, isn't he, for this reality series with Chris, which you're particularly excited about, yeah. Rachel.
I'm obsessed with it.
Love Island, as most people know, is a novel for me. I read it online. I don't ever watch any of it. I watched 10 seconds and it was abysmal. But I am kind of obsessed with this, with their bromance. I just really like it when something upsets the apple cart on these shows. Like, I am really quite vindictive at heart. And like, the fact that like it's all about Love Island and the couples and who's having sex, and then the thing that people really got excited about was this bromance, just I can really get behind that like beating of the system. But I do have a question, because I don't know anything about these two apart from they had like the most sex, but do you think they will actually stay together?
Personally, I don't. And they were kind of like the surprise, like they sort of overtook everyone in
the last few days.
Because Camilla and Jamie were the favourites sort of going into like the last week over like Marcel and Gabby. And then all of a sudden it was Kem and Amber.
Camilla and Jamie are dull.
Personally, I see Amber going down the sponsored content route, because the first picture she posted upon leaving the villa was a picture of her and Kem at the after party. And it was a picture that was captioned something like, "Thank you so much for all your support." Not then did she say, "I'm so in love, I'm so grateful to have found a boyfriend." She said, "No, dress from blank."
Nicely done.
So it wasn't even an hour after she was out of the villa.
Yeah, but they've all done that. Gabby's done that, Olivia's done that. Absolutely, all of them.
We're missing out. How do we get this?
Yeah,
can we do sponsored content? Send me stuff, I'll post it on Instagram. I've got 100 followers.
I want to move on to Camilla and Jamie. There's a lot of talk about what Camilla particularly is going to do next, because she's not your standard reality TV contestant, is she really? She's very sort of humanitarian, wants to do something, wants to help the earth, basically, not just be famous.
I think if she doesn't do that and she just does go do reality stuff now, I think she will get a lot of grief for it. And I think she's kind of spoken, like, said the good talk, she actually now needs to like walk the walk, and we need to be seeing her doing that for people to actually take
this. What could she do though?
Well, she said this week when I actually went and interviewed them, clang.
Jesus.
She would like to do some sort of like, so she's going off to immediately now, she's going off to do some charity work. And she wants to take Jamie to a refugee camp. But she said sort of beyond that...
Sorry, that relationship is just not going to work. No, I'm sorry, but it's not.
She's going to get her heart broken.
Yeah, she is. And it makes me sad. Well, but also,
she
like,
went on Love Island, so...
she said that her dream would be to do a Ross Kemp-style show in sort of war-stricken places. Do like an extreme version, which I can see her doing. And I can kind of see people being interested in that. I don't know. You're the big Ross Kemp fan.
Well, no. The thing was... When you, Ash loves Love Island, obviously, and was going on and on about it, and everyone was like, you're going to love Camilla so much, you should definitely watch it. So I put it on, I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a go. And I couldn't bear it. I could feel my brain like melting. But also, Camilla just seemed very dull and very like, I'd been sold this like feminist icon and this person who was really sure of herself, and she's this bomb disposal expert, which I'm so into. And then I just found her really boring.
No, see, so basically Ash and I have like argued multiple times over Camilla. And I don't get it. I get the obsession with her that everybody is. I just found that she was a bit of a bore. I just absolutely agreed with Montana half the time over her opinions of Camilla. I know it's a really unpopular opinion. Yeah. But I wasn't really blown away with her in the slightest at all.
Well, I want to get away from this Camilla slaying because I'm not here for it. So I'm going to move on to the next couple.
She's great.
Censorship.
But needless to say, I don't think we're going to be seeing Camilla falling out of China White's in the next week.
I tell you what, if China White's was still a thing and this was 2009, I would bet you that we would.
Next up, Chris and Livia, who I know were Francesca's favourite couple.
So I've been saying again to Ash multiple times, live on Loose Women to me is like the ultimate of where I can see her.
Do you not think though she'd be sort of like, you know how Vicky Patterson went on it when she came out of the jungle, and she just didn't really have like the life experience needed to be on Loose Women? I kind of feel like if Liv was to do that, she's enough, she's outspoken enough, she's ballsy enough, but I don't know whether she's got that sort of life experience.
To be honest, I think that was a cop out from Vicky to say that in the first place, if I'm honest. And I don't know.
That might have just been I was axed, but this is what I'm
going to
say. That's unconfirmed.
If I ever get sacked, I'm going to say I did not have the life experience for this job.
I don't know. I think potentially being a guest contributor, every now and then, see how she goes. I think she would absolutely give that. I love the show, would give it another spice up.
I've got another question. Yeah. How old is Olivia? Because I know some of the, like Montana's 21. Yeah. They are all quite young.
I think Olivia's 25, 26.
Okay.
So she's a little bit older than the rest of them.
Francesca's doing some research.
I can kind of see Olivia going down the like, kind of like modelling route, like launching her own sort of clothing range.
I can confirm that she's 26.
She's 26, there you go. Doing her own clothing range. Sponsoring like protein like supplements online.
Well, she's that what's that thing that she's already at? Sorry, I'm going to giggle this again. She already does that.
She's
motorsport,
a motorsports
grid
girl.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see her going down the modelling route, but as far
she goes down the thinking route. Sorry.
Oh,
wow. But I can kind of see Chris going down the club appearances route, which is what
that upsets
what
me though.
Done.
But that, no, he's not been as bad as Dom. Like, did we see the meme that went round of, like, Dom posting, like, his tour of, like, 20 dates around the country?
Apparently the dates last longer than when he was actually in the villa for.
Oh, my God.
They outnumber them. I personally hope that Chris makes some sort of farming documentary or some farming-based reality show.
That's I think he could absolutely rock a whole show. And I think what would be so great is that, like, if he wanted to, I think he could make it a bit more serious and he could pull that off as well with his humour too.
Yeah, he has. He does talk about that banter and that personality a lot. Are you bantering, Liv? Right,
well, you're making Rachel hate it even more. Please just stop.
Right, last couple, they finished fourth. We are talking Marcel and Gabby, or should I say, paging Dr. Marcel.
How long have you waited to say that?
I've literally waited the whole of this podcast to say that.
I see Marcel going back into some rap land, Blazing Squad era, and Gabby not doing
it. Do you think he's going to come through and release this EP with Kem and Chris, like they say is going to happen?
Oh, there's been so much chat about it and like Stormzy's potential involvement on all of this, and I just think someone out there would be stupid not to give them that platform or to do that, because I think individually they're all pushing like a million, I think we said a million followers on Instagram.
They need to
now
do it like quick though, like strike while the iron's hot, like that track, whatever it is, needs to drop
a little
like,
bit leave
in
it
a couple of days.
It's called A Little Bit Leave It.
Yeah, I just think they'd be nuts if they didn't, because I think it'd be a waste of opportunity. If it bombs, it bombs, but I think they'd have to give
it
a go.
But do you think Marcel would be like sort of compromising his, like, I'm not going to say credibility,
his artistic integrity?
Flip
No.
Can't undo the good work of Crossroads.
Well, apparently he has already landed a book deal, and it's going to be called Dr. Marcel's Book of Love. And it's going to be him answering people's love sort of dilemmas. So,
oh, if everything he could do, if he does that, I would be so disappointed.
Well, it's probably coming to a stocking near you at Christmas time. So that's something to look forward to.
Can that be my secret Santa?
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see what they all do over the next few weeks. Whether they will be flooding our Instagram feeds, or whether they will just fall into obscurity. Who knows? Let's move on. One of the other big stories this week was Angelina Jolie's big Vanity Fair interview, which was probably one of her most candid ever, I would say. In it, she opened up about her divorce from Brad Pitt and the effect that that had on the children and indeed her own health, as she revealed that she'd also been diagnosed with Bell's palsy after it. In it, she also discusses her new Netflix film about the Killing Fields genocide, which killed 2 million Cambodians in the 1970s. There's a lot of big talking points in there, and there's quite a lot to unpack as well. Rachel, I'm going to come to you first. What was your main kind of takeaways from the stuff that she said about the divorce?
I think what was really interesting, and I'm kind of just absolutely in awe of, is the way that she didn't actually say anything about the divorce, yet said absolutely everything possible. So, like, she was really, like, kind of obscure, and the interviewer said, oh, you know, this was, when I mentioned the divorce, that was the only time she was a bit cagey. And she kind of said things like, she didn't ever mention Brad Pitt by name, but she said one part, she's like, I was always worried about my mother when I was a child. I don't want my kids to be worried about me, so I cry in the shower instead. And I was just like, oh, my God.
It's very, that's a very powerful, emotive image, isn't it? It's like not letting the kids see her upset. And I kind of wonder whether it would actually be better for them to see their mum upset rather than unhealthily bottling up all this emotion.
Well, part of like the interview as well, when she talks about the kids, I think there's that bit as well where she says like about how we're all learning to heal as a family. And at the point where the interview starts, they've just bought this new home and she's trying to like bake cakes and cook food and be like a like quote mark normal mum. And I just think, I do find that a bit weird, actually, because she is so about the kids and about being quite hands-on. I guess it's just worry. Like, I guess a few of them as well, like Maddox was adopted from Cambodia and had a bit of a tough upbringing. I don't know if it's maybe like, doesn't want to just be a bit shit.
How do you think what she said in this interview compared to what Brad said in his interview with GQ Style, which was when he first spoke about all the kind of divorce stuff?
I think the issue that I have with both the interviews is like it feels like it is done for, you know, PR purposes. You know, you want to tell people your side of the story and you tell people what you want them to think or what you want them to know. And I feel like Angelina Jolie felt like in a position where she probably should say her side given Brad Pitt's interview. But I just, the cynic in me is like, how real is any of this stuff anyway?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's very kind of almost old in a way. We live in this social media age where, you know, celebrities are so active on social media these days. And if there's a breakup, I mean, look at Stephanie Davis and Jeremy McConnell. I know they're not in the same league as Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, but you see that unfold in such sort of like, here is our dirty laundry, it's out in public. So it's kind of old fashioned in a way now to go to these sort of these big magazines, do these big spreads and talk about your sort of relationship.
Yeah, I wonder how many times she read that and changed words and sentences and made sure it was
absolutely...
To be fair,
Vanity Fair are like proper sticklers for stuff like that. But you say about like, you know, Jeremy McConnell and Stephanie Davis, but like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie don't live their lives on social media.
Yeah.
Like they are like, it is a really old fashioned way, but it's because they are such a like old Hollywood couple. Like the way they live their lives and things is more similar to like the way things were done like in Hollywood in the 70s and the 80s than like today's reality TV stars.
Do you think the interview, do you think it kind of hinted at what we can expect from a sort of a post Brangelina and?
I think that'll be the one and only time she addresses it. But I think definitely this, well, even like the Netflix thing is kind of this big passion project about Cambodia, which is where, you know, she adopted her first son from. It's a country that's really important to her. She's definitely...
And that's where it kind of started, didn't she? Hinted that that's where it kind of started to go a bit.
And she's on that road anyway. She's been like a UN ambassador for ages. She's done like over 60 like trips for the UN. And I think she was on that road anyway, but it's definitely obviously what she's going to focus on.
Well, I actually want to talk about this a little bit more because the reaction to the film, particularly around the way that she's cast one of the leads in the film, has attracted a lot of commentary. There was kind of a bit of a backlash on Twitter when she revealed that she'd auditioned Cambodian children to play the part of Long Eun, setting up an improvised situation where the children auditioning for the part were given money before they were taken away, before it was sort of taken off the table to see how they would react to that. We've got to say that the children had been made aware of what was happening, but some people have accused her of exploitation, they've accused her of othering, and they've accused her of emotionally manipulating vulnerable young people. So what did you guys kind of make of this backlash? Do you think those critics had a point?
Can I just ask first, you say the children were made aware. Were they made aware they were kind of being interviewed or for something? Or they, what were they made aware exactly? I think that's, that for me, that's the crux of it.
Well, so they went looking for, and this was her words, they went looking for children who had experienced hardship. So they went looking in circuses, they went looking in orphanages, and they went looking in slum schools, looking for these children.
So do you think they knew it was an audition?
Yeah,
so
they knew it was an improvised audition, right. And they were told, like, this is the game we're going to play.
Right, okay. It sits really uneasily with me.
Weird, isn't
yeah,
it?
I just, you know... These children, like, are not in the best situations at all, and everything they've already gone through. And I just think to tease money like that, I just feel so uncomfortable about it.
Well, that was one of the things that Angelina said in the interview. She was like, one girl had such an emotional reaction to seeing all of this money spread out in front of her, and they sort of asked her why, and she was like, well, we didn't have enough money to pay for my granddad's funeral. And this was actually the girl that actually has ended up landing the part, and she's
gonna
play the character.
But isn't that, though, that was her improvised excuse? Because this is the thing, there's been a lot of talk around this interview, and I feel like a lot of it can be read in certain ways. But the way that I read it was that when they played the game with the girl, so the kid had to steal the money and the director would pretend to catch them. And when the director pretended to catch them, they had to come up with a reason why. So that was their like improv challenge. And it wasn't that like that she had, that they had this situation with her family. It was that that was her reason.
I think a lot of people would have read it as
a lot of people have also accused them though of triggering bad
yeah,
memories
definitely
in these
that.
Children's upbringing. That's it's not
I'm
right
just like,
is it?
I'm just no. like surely there are other ways to figure out who you want to
because I get why
that.
They are trying to cast a Cambodian child in this Cambodian film, otherwise there would be accusations that they're not portraying this horrific event properly. But I just think there's got to be a better way of doing it.
Well, most people do use improv. So the guy who did Lion, the most devastating film of the entire decade.
Still refuse to see it.
Honestly, be prepared when you do.
Don't. It's amazing. But the kid, Sonny, who plays the little version of... Tiny
Dev
spoiler,
Patel.
Little version of Dev Patel, not really a spoiler. The guy who plays him, they did the same thing. They went to different slums in Mumbai and they went around India and they tried to find the child who kind of fit properly. And with that, they always do like improv auditions. But I'd be really interested to know like what their improv was.
Yeah. Do you think that Angelina is just maybe copying a backlash for something that's actually quite widespread in the
film industry?
I
honestly think so. The fact that she's felt comfortable enough, one, to do it in a place with people that she cares about so much, and two, to sit in front of someone from Vanity Fair and say, oh yeah, we did this and how we were picked. Like,
the thing that's not the first. The thing that's uncomfortable with me was how Vanity Fair kind of wrote it up as quite cutesy. And it was kind of like, oh, this isn't this quite like sweet? And I was a bit like, oh, no, it's actually really not.
But I think you're so right, Rachel. Like, considering I think that whole interview was like so carefully considered, how Angelina like said everything about the divorce, you know, surely if she spent the whole interview being so conscious about what she was saying,
yeah, she's not
it would have been a massive slip up if she just said that without really like meaning to. Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, the film is called First They Killed My Father, and it's coming to Netflix later this year. But we're going to do a big shift of gear now, because we're just going to talk about Celebrity Big Brother. Now, a brand new series is just around the corner. It launches on Tuesday, which couldn't come at a better time, really, in a post-Love Island era that we're currently living in. While the regular series is kind of like floundered this year, no one's really interested in the regular series. The celebrity ones always throw up such great moments. And this year we've got people rumoured for it like Sarah Harding, Barry from EastEnders, Sandy from Gogglebox, Towie's Pete Wicks, and former Love Island star Paul Dunan, no less.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure that's got the makings of a good series if they all do end up entering the house. But that's kind of got us thinking a little bit about the best Celebrity Big Brother moments from the years gone by, because there's been so many over the last 19
There's been 19 series.
This is going to be the 20th.
Are they making a big deal out that it's the 20th?
Well, they kind of said at the start that it could be a Celebrity All-Stars, New Stars series, but then they did that last series.
That's
so
the same, like, as some of the people on Love Island.
Like, but bear in mind, it has been going for 20 years because they do two series since Channel 5. So.
Oh my God.
But I want to know, because everyone has whether you still watch Big Brother now or whether you stopped watching years ago, it's had such a cultural impact that everyone has a favourite Celebrity Big Brother moment. So I want to know yours. I've got a list of about 10 on my list.
Do you have one per season?
Pretty much.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I don't really watch it properly. Obviously, since like being on the entertainment desk, we cover it and I do enjoy it. But like, yeah, I've never really been like tuning in every single night. But my favourite moment, which we talk about all the time, also one of Daniel's favourite moments, so in his absence, I'll share it, is when Lauren Goodger was called to the diary room for a little bit of a telling off. Because she's got a bit merry the night before, and Big Brother is like, Lauren, you know, how are you feeling? She's like, oh yeah, I'm good, whatever, whatever. Big Brother's like, Lauren, we do have to give you a warning about pissing in the swimming pool. So the Googe sits there and is like, oh, nah, didn't do that. Oh, I was joking around. It cuts as a flashback to the night before, and she's literally stood in the swimming pool going like, guys, I'm pissing in the pool. And then she's just in the diary room like, can't say I remember doing that. And also just her whole time on there was just low-key iconic. That bit, the other one, you know when James Jordan is saying how he would hate it if Ola got really drunk? He's like, oh, I'd never let my wife get like that. And it comes to Lauren and she's like swooshing around in the pool with her arms over her head.
I swear her boob fell out. I just think she's wearing like a sort and of then, a one shoulder one piece.
She used that silver one and then her boob just falls out. And James Jordan is like, oh, disgusting. She is iconic. So that's mine.
Wow. What a moment.
I just feel like I can't top that.
I feel that
nobody
feel
can.
She's just up there. So for me, I'm going to admit, I've not watched a lot of the recent seasons. But I think one of my favourite moments was when it was a series where Chantel entered and she was the non-celeb. And I think I remember it so much because it was at the time, like, such a big twist and such a like, oh, this is really different. And then when she had to pretend, you know, to make them all believe that she was actually a celebrity and her kind of like, then kind of her journey into them becoming a celebrity, I think by far was like, everyone was like, oh, who are you? They're like, oh yeah,
I'm from Candy Floss with a K.
Oh my God.
But then obviously we had all the Preston stuff as well, which came out of that.
Loved
which
that
was
couple.
Just like, I feel that was like a proper like a reality TV romance that people really got behind.
I loved
like,
it, yeah.
People didn't think that was a showmance, and it was kind of sweet.
Oh my God,
it was
amazing.
Innocent.
She went to my school as well.
Did she?
Yeah, so everyone went mad. Yeah, she's great.
Well, that series, actually, that I've got on my list, there's a few moments from that
series. We've just discussed this. That doesn't count.
We've got, of course, that was a series that threw up, would you like me to be the cat? which of course is Rula Lenska and George Galloway reenacting Would you like me to be the cat?
Literally going to give me nightmares. Creepy, why were they actually doing that? I don't know the story.
I can't really remember. It was kind of like an improvised.
I remember those.
And they were just in the living room
the
by themselves.
The leotard things. I remember
that. Well, that was a separate.
That was a separate incident?
An interpretive dance that George Galloway did with Pete Burns. Which again is just ingrained on my memory.
Also, your knowledge is 10 out of 10, I should say.
Well, I find it really hard to limit down my top celebrity Big Brother's moments because I've got a few. The first of which has to be, of course, Jackie. Which is obviously one of the most iconic celebrity Big Brother moments of all time. For those who don't remember, I don't want to know you. But basically, Bridget Nielsen was in the house and she used to be married to Sylvester Stallone.
Just thought of another. We talk about it all the time. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, halfway through the series, they throw in Jackie Stallone, who is the mother of Sylvester Stallone. Anyway, Jackie's like this 80-year-old sort of camp iconic woman.
God.
Just walks in this like fur coat, dripping in jewellery, hair all done. And they're in the middle of a task in there. And I think Bridget Nielsen's dressed as some like milkmaid or something. And they're all like gathered round to like welcome their new housemate. And in walks Jackie. And Bridget Nielsen goes, oh my God, Jackie! And Jackie just goes, yeah, Jackie. Which is just brilliant.
Oh, my God.
I might have to just go and watch
the fact they were even in, like, looking back on it, the fact they were both even in the CBB house is mental.
Yeah.
Like, what?
The fact that they even got them.
How did that happen?
I don't think we can talk about iconic celebrity Big Brother moments without mentioning the entertainment desk's favourite.
That's literally what I just thought of.
We are, of course, talking about David's dead. Which I have to admit, we actually watch on average about once a week on our desk at work.
Yeah, I found out my housemates hadn't seen it and we hooked the computer up to the telly. I was like, you need to experience this. I still can't believe it happened.
7 minutes, because I actually know the length of the clip on YouTube. It's 7 minutes until they actually like fully understood that it's not David Guest that has died in the celebrity Big Brother house.
It's actually really dark.
It is, considering it's 6 months later, yeah, David Guest did die.
And when he died, Tiffany was still selling t-shirts on her website that said David's dead.
She had automated tweets sent that were going out on her timeline after David Guest had died and she'd had to issue an apology.
Best bit of that whole thing,
Personally for me, it's when Darren Day genuinely believes, because it just so happens that David Guest has taken to his bed ill, like in a complete like calamity of coincidences. David Guest is ill in bed. Darren Day runs to the bedroom and pulls back the covers off of David's bed to check that he's still breathing, and David's just like, huh, what? And then, of course, it all kicks off because they think that Tiffany has made up the fact that David Guest had died. Tiffany's just there in hysterics.
It's the scream for me. It's the, like, run!
I mean, Tiffany Pollard, talk about iconic housemates.
Oh, God.
And also, we just got to say, if you've not watched her talking about Gemma Collins lending her shoes in the diary, yeah. I'm not going to say much more than that. But if you follow me on Twitter, I recently retweeted it, so go and find it. I want to finish this off with, if you had to pick your favourite ever celebrity Big Brother housemate, who would it be and why? Rachel, I'm coming to you.
Oh, this is really hard. Can I just pick another one so we can talk about one of our favourite ever moments? My favourite housemate was actually a guest very briefly, and it was Casey Batchelor's mother. When she came through the clock to utter the immortal words, he's mugging you off.
He's mugged you off, darling. He's mugged you right.
He goes in the diary room and he says one thing.
What, into your face? goes in the diary and says, you get on his tits.
And then she turns to Jim Davidson and is like, thanks for looking after her.
Can I just say, Rachel, for someone who just said I don't watch it that much,
it's because Daniel's made her watch it.
All I do is watch the same like five clips from it. It's like X Factor. I watch Sharon Osbourne walking into a door. I watch Rachel Adedeji falling over and Kate Thornton patting that woman on the head. Like, that's all I've seen.
Kate Thornton patting that woman on
that
the head.
That actually isn't on YouTube, so if anyone's
No, it's
got
not,
it.
But it's vividly ingrained in my memory. Francesca, favourite housemate and why?
I was toying with two. And this is actually going to sound really quite boring now, but it's actually Colleen Nolan.
Really?
Yeah. For coming back and for like then going, she went on to win, didn't she?
Yeah, she won.
I just think like she was going through a lot of shit. She had a lot of stuff going on. And I think she actually just changed perceptions quite a lot. And I just was like, you know, when they're just rooting for someone. And I just think he did her so much good that, yeah, she's just my fave.
A problematic fave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say.
But yeah, but like, aren't we all?
In a shock twist, I failed to narrow down my list of housemates to just one, so I have a collection. And there's probably quite a theme here that you might be able to guess as well. I'm running through them. I've
Are
got
they all middle-aged women?
Pretty much. Stephanie Beecham, Cara McGiffin, Denise Wells, Gemma Collins and Kim Woodburn.
Gemma Collins is the only one there not middle-aged. I'm just going to save you from
that. Celebrity Big Brother starts on Tuesday at 9 on Channel 5. We will definitely be watching. Right, so we always like to finish on a quiz. So I'm now going to cross over to quiz queen Rachel McGrath.
This is so exciting. I love doing the quiz when Daniel isn't here because I could just be really self-indulgent and do stuff that I care about.
Oh,
and no one gets to tell me off. So one thing this week we talked about was Angelina Jolie's Vanity Fair interview. So the quiz has a Vanity Fair theme. So I've got a list of celebrities that
wow.
are made.
You actually have a scroll of paper there, which you're holding.
And then
up.
I've got
for audio.
I've got seven. Yeah, I'm going to read it out. But I've got seven quotes. I'm going to give you the quote, and you have to guess which celebrity.
Also, you're going to get an achy arm from holding
I know.
Up that piece of paper.
Shall I read out the celebrities
wait,
first?
So they've all had Vanity Fair.
No, so I've got seven, and there's a few red herrings in here.
Okay.
So there's only seven answers. So should I read them out? So the celebs we've got on the list are Katy Perry, Chris Pratt, Kim K, Taylor Swift, David Beckham, Jennifer Aniston, Justin Bieber, Adele, Caitlyn Jenner, Channing Tatum, Jennifer Lawrence, and Kanye West. I don't know why there's a smiley face next to Kanye. I think.
Oh,
I
wonder why.
So you can pick a number, and then I'll give you the quote.
Okay. I'm going first. I'm going into the box. The box of dreams. I'm loving that the box is making an appearance even when Daniel's not here.
I know. I've like got so many elements to this quiz.
There is a lot, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a box. There's
Number seven.
Okay. Number seven is, my publicists were like, we think you should stick to coffee or tea, no wine during the interview.
Is that me?
It's actually me.
I think I know that one.
So you have to guess somebody from the deck.
Oh. I'm going to guess Jennifer Lawrence.
That is correct.
Is it?
Yes.
That was a total guess. What a queen.
Well done.
Jennifer Lawrence, a girl after my own heart.
That's the only one that I'm going to know. Okay. Number three.
Okay, number three is, I can make three things, meat, omelette, fajitas. Right now I'm making a wild boar taco. I got the recipe from my brother-in-law.
Again,
see how riveting these interviews can be.
Wild boar taco. I'd be up for that if I hadn't just eaten a chicken katsu curry.
I can wait. Name just the food items again.
Meat.
Yeah.
As one thing.
Yeah.
Omelettes and fajitas.
Channing Tatum.
Wrong. Oh, can you guess it? You can steal the point.
I would say Chris Pratt.
That is true.
Oh, it was one or the other.
Yeah, I would have gone one or the other.
Yeah.
It's very ladsy just being able to put meat and eggs.
Yeah. Also thinking that meat is a, like one meal. Like, what?
Right, I'm going into the box and I have pulled out. Oh my God, Rachel, you folded these up like blinking origami.
I know, I really enjoy it.
Number one.
Okay, number one is, a lot of the time I feel like Will Ferrell in the movie Elf. just this big guy that wants to join in, but his hands are a little too big.
Wow, that's...
You know, Angelina Jolie just could have gone deeper.
I would say that's someone a bit left field that spotted the size of Will Ferrell's hand. So I'm going to go Katy Perry.
You're wrong.
Oh, okay. That's yeah? actually what I would have said.
Do you want to try and steal it, Francesca?
Yes, I do. And I think I'm going to go for... Let's go back for Channing again.
No, wrong.
You just say Channing to every answer.
I'm not giving you who it is until the end because we've got other ones you've got
okay,
to guess.
Okay, so. good. Number four.
I'm doing it to help my soul and other people. If I can make a dollar, I'm certainly not stupid.
Katy Perry.
Wrong. Francesca, you're really letting yourself
I'm
down
so
here.
Bad at these quizzes.
Can you guess who that one was, Ash?
Adele.
Wrong.
Oh, okay.
You're still in the lead with 2 points. Now it's your actual turn.
Can I just get you
saying
number four?
Number two.
Okay. I have my imaginary dog cone on, so I don't see a thing.
Ooh. Kim K?
Wrong. It's one of your faves as well.
Jennifer Aniston.
What about Jennifer Aniston?
Oh my god, Francesca, you're so correct. It was Jennifer Aniston. Okay, you can get even with this one, Francesca.
Okay, number six. Or nine, however you want to look at it.
Oh, it's a six.
Okay.
There's only seven. Every time I put a thong on and I'm ready to walk on stage, I think, why do I want to do this?
Canon.
Yes!
Is that in Magic Mind?
Yeah, he was talking about Magic Mind.
He's talking about life.
So this last one is to win it.
Right, so have we just got a cut?
Shall I just read it out? Can you tell me what number it is first?
Okay, it is number... It's... Oh God. Number five.
Okay, so whoever gets it first wins.
Oh, okay. What? Okay.
Okay.
So I've just got to shout it out.
Just shout it out.
Okay.
Okay. He has no choice. I'll have no man telling me to shave my fucking legs. Shave yours.
Adele.
Katy Perry.
Is Adele.
Yeah.
Well done, Ash. 3-2. You are the winner.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Right. Well, that is indeed it for this week. We will be back next week with more Into It. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Have a great weekend. We will see you later.